Welcome back. It's Agent Provocateur time with Alan Walsh of Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles, native Montrealer. Melnick in the afternoon on game night. Habs and Sharks coming up. Craig Button will join us after 6 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you. And here he is. I'm going to guess he's still in Los Angeles. I know there are some moving trucks involved. Alan Walsh, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. It's Friday. It's great.
Yeah, I hear you.
So normally, enough goes on during the course of a day preceding Alan's appearance, normally on Thursday or a weekend or the week, that we never really have to, and we don't do it with people who are regulars on this show. We never rehearse. But I asked Alan, I just threw it out today, is there anything in particular you want to get to? And much to my delight and surprise, you mentioned Ken Dryden. Explain, please.
Well, growing up in Montreal, my hero was Ken Dryden. My bedroom was wall-to-wall Ken Dryden posters, photos, everywhere. And, you know, around 71 on the playoff run when they won the Improbable Cup, after he played 6 regular season games coming up from the Montreal Voyageurs. I was enthralled with him, with his game, with his persona. When I was a little kid and people used to ask me what I want to be when I grow up, I want to be a lawyer and an NHL hockey player just like Ken Dryden. And, you know, there wasn't too many details about his life that I didn't know. And many people at the time thought it was a somewhat unhealthy obsession. but he was an incredible hockey player, incredible goalie, maybe one of the greatest ever. And there was just something about him, his look, the 2 masks, the way he played, his level of intelligence and insight into the game that just really drew me in.
And I can't help but wonder, someone who wanted to be a lawyer and a hockey player, and 1 out of 2 worked out pretty good for you, if what happened during the year that he held out, so he wins the Stanley Cup after, you mentioned, he played 6 games. He wins the Cup even before, he wins the Conn Smythe Trophy as the most valuable player in the playoffs, before he wins the Calder as the Rookie of the Year the next year.
He's
2 years into his NHL career, and then he takes a year off. He holds out. I remember being in school, Alan, through the course of this, listening to Ted Teeven, expecting every night through November, December, January that they were going to announce that Ken Dryden's coming back, finally. He sat out the entire year because of a contract dispute.
Yeah, what he did was, after winning the Cup, he had 1 year left on his player contract after winning the Cup in 73, his second Cup, and the Vezina. And he approached Sam Pollock, the GM of the Canadiens, and wanted to renegotiate his contract. And he had discovered through his own research that he was the 8th highest paid goaltender in the NHL at the time. And he felt that he should be amongst the top compensated goalies, given what he had just accomplished. And I think the public term he had for it was, I want the going rate for my level of play and accomplishment so far.
Long before salary disclosure.
Long before salary disclosure. And a detail that many people don't remember, the 72-73 season, Ken had been named by Allan Eagleson president of the NHLPA. So he was able to, I believe, use his position, you know, as a graduated attorney who had not yet articled and not yet taken the bar exam, and also his connections throughout the league, probably through the PA, to find out what other goalies were making, and approached Sam Pollock and said, this is what other guys are making, and I want the going rate. And Sam Pollock's response was, I do not renegotiate contracts with anyone and I will not renegotiate with you. So at that time, and it was just before the opening of training camp, Dryden took the decision to not play the year. Having graduated from McGill Law School, he needed a year of articling before being eligible to sit for the bar exams, and he applied for and got a job in a law firm in Toronto by the name of Osler Hoskins and Harcourt. Moved to Toronto and began articling, where he was making $135 a week.
So that was like, what, $7,000 a year maybe, right?
Yeah. And he supplemented that income. He did some TV work, color commentary on Toronto Toros, WHA broadcasts, and really had no contact with the team or anybody in the NHL until February or March, fairly later in the year. The Canadians were playing against Toronto in Maple Leaf Gardens, and Dryden came to the game and went into the dressing room and saw the madhouse inside the room and some of the old guys, and at that time really got the feeling like he wanted to come back and play. And there was a mutual friend between Ken and Sam Pollock who approached Sam Pollock and said Ken would like to talk, and they quietly got together and had some conversations, and Ken ended up signing a multi-year deal to come back into the fold, making him the highest paid goalie in the NHL and the highest paid player on the Montreal Canadiens at the time.
And this is very important historically, again, long before salary disclosure, at a time when, God bless him, Gordie Howe was clearly taken advantage of by the Detroit Red Wings. It was the best player in the game for decades, who didn't know that several of his own teammates were making considerably more than he was.
Right. And I remember in the 70s, there was a situation involving Guy Lafleur, you may recall, where he was in the midst of renegotiating his contract. I believe it was like around 76. And it was mid-season, and things weren't going well, and there was some talk on the afternoon of a game that Lafleur might not play because of the contract renegotiation. And a extension was done about an hour before game time.
Yeah,
and he played the game.
And there was concern at the time that he might, horrors, head to Quebec City, where he started as a junior, because, of course, the Nordiques of the WHA, if Guy Lafleur was available, would have nabbed him. And Alan, I think the bottom line for Sam Pollock and the Canadians, as steadfast or stubborn as he could have been, was, and I heard this, and it used to bother me a lot growing up, because like you, I was a humongous Ken Dryden fan. Well, the Canadians, anybody could have played goal behind that team with the players, the number of Hall of Famers they had. The 1 year that he sat out, Wayne Thomas, Bunny LaRocque, and I think it was Michel Place, they didn't get it done. When he retired after winning four in a row, they went out and got Denny Heron, who was a pretty good goalie, but he was no Ken Dryden. They got eliminated in the playoffs. The goaltending was not the same.
Exactly. But, you know, in Ken's famous book, The Game, which is probably to this day the greatest hockey book that's ever been written about the game, there's that book, and then there's every other book after it. But that book is the really the holy grail of books regarding hockey. And from a player who played in the league, he begins the book by saying, "I leave before being left. I decide." And you know, when Ken retired, he was still a relatively young man, even in goalie years for the NHL in those days. It was somewhat of a shock that he left when he did. When many goalies, his contemporaries, were going 35, 36, 37, and some well to 40, Leaving at 30-31 was relatively young age to be retiring from the NHL. But I think he felt that last year in Montreal, they kind of won the cup that year, the fourth year, in spite of themselves. They were losing to Boston in the semifinal until Guy Lafleur's goal with the too many men on the ice penalty, and then Yvon Lambert's Game 7 heroics sending them to the finals against the Rangers. And they lost the opening game against the New York Rangers, and then the unthinkable happened. For every single game of the Cup run, at the time, three in a row, Kenneth started every single playoff game for the Canadiens consecutively. And for the second game, Bunny Larocque was named the starter for Montreal. And I believe it was a Doug Risebrough shot in the pregame warm-up.
Many of us believe it was on purpose.
I asked Doug Risebrough that once when he was GM in Minnesota, and he and I were having a cup of coffee together. I said, "Tell me, was that on purpose?" And he just kind of smiled and shrugged his shoulders, and he wouldn't answer.
Yeah, it was a Doug Risebrough shot that knocked by. It was up high, and it knocked Larocque out, and Dryden got another chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm curious here.
Went 1-4 in a row.
I'm curious here, as we got to wrap this up, fast forward now. You are a lawyer, a successful NHL player agent, and Ken Dryden is the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Did you have any interaction with him in that regard?
Yeah, when he was working in Toronto, I would speak to him here and there. I had some players on the Leafs. Actually, talked to him a couple times about contracts and so forth. And, there's really only two people in this world where I get that feeling when I'm talking to them, where I really have to maintain my composure, and it's Ken Dryden and Bruce Springsteen. And that's it. I mean, I've met a lot of actors, very famous actors, producers, athletes. It doesn't really impact me at all in any way, but when I meet Ken Dryden or talk to him and Bruce Springsteen, I'm just trying to maintain my composure and not sound like a total jerk.
Two noted authors now, two best-selling authors, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely.
When are you making your way to Montreal for the junior tournament?
I will be there on the 26th of December.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks for this. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit down memory lane here of my childhood, but thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
Agent provocateur Alan Walsh from Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles. Coming up next, our final winner of the day. We've been giving away tickets to the World Junior Hockey Championship in Toronto, but of course the game's here in Montreal at the Bell Centre, and we will wrap it up with a winner of tickets to the gold medal game on January the 5th. And if you missed the finale of Mitch Gallo's award-winning production of You Got Censored, we'll get to that as well before Craig Button joins us as part of the Irish Embassy pregame show.
here and here and here. Oh, and here, here, and here too. In fact, our vehicles cover so many heres around the city, we've lost count. We're BMW Canbag, Montreal's largest, most experienced, and best-selling BMW dealer. And you can see each of our vehicles on the road and at our dealership on the corner of Jean Talon and De La Savanne. Until December 31st, receive up to $3,000 in credit and a lease rate starting at 0.9% on all remaining 2016 3 and 4 Series. BMW Canbag, driving the Montreal landscape one client at a time.
Bill likes options.
Tuna or turkey breast.
Sandwich options.
Oven roasted chicken or turkey breast and ham.
But with a $6.75 meal deal at Subway, he might have too many options.
Subway Club. Or
he can choose from six-inch subs or wraps plus chips and a 21-ounce fountain drink for just $6.75.
Definitely Italian BMT?
You'll figure it out, Bill. Eventually.
Tuna? Tuna.
Subway. Eat fresh. Limited time only. Additional charge for extras. Prices and participation may vary, plus tax where applicable.
TSN 690 traffic.
Not too bad this evening out to the South Shore. Stillville, St. Pierre for the Mercier Bridge. 15 southbound through the Turcotte onto the Champlain Bridge. A great drive. Victoria and Jacques Cartier are holding their own as well. But right now, outbound Lafontaine Tunnel is slow from Anjou. Northbound to Cary only busy at the top. Southbound side is heavy the length. Sign up for Bell 5 TV, the best TV service with internet and home phone, by December 24th and get a $100 gift card. Visit a Bell store. Leslie from the CJAD 800 Traffic Center.
Coffee lovers unite. Make